If you haven't watched Naruto series yet, I'm sorry for you. I don't even know why you're here. How can you proudly call yourself an otaku when you haven't seen the show Naruto? Naruto is the face of anime. When you just talk about anime, that year, before I even started watching anime, when I hear Naruto or when I hear anime, it's just those two things that come into mind. When I hear the word anime, Naruto, when I hear Naruto, anime. So that is how it has always been for me. But I don't know if you haven't seen the show yet, please try and watch it. It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. So for those of us that have seen the show, today's episode is going to be 10 ways the fourth Shinobi War changed the Naruto series forever. So if you've seen the show, you know what happened, you know what the fourth Great Ninja War is. And you know the whole thing that transpired throughout the entire show, how it led up to that moment, and what happened afterwards. So today we are just going to be looking at a blog post from CBR, and we'll be seeing those 10 ways which the Great Ninja War changed the series or changed Naruto. I think that's okay, the way they titled it here, 10 ways the fourth Shinobi War changed Naruto forever. I think before I started recording this episode, I just brushed through, and it's not mainly focused on only Naruto. It's covering everything that happened, the major changes that happened after the war. You understand? The war arc is one of the best arcs throughout the entire series. It was long, it had so many things in there, like some of those moves, those jutsus we've been seeing from small. We've seen them mature and we've seen them being used on a larger scale. So it was really interesting then to see. I think it was one of the best ways which the show ended. Like any anime that I've ended, any sh anime that I've watched from beginning to end, Naruto did a good job, especially Naruto Shippuden. The ending of Naruto Shippuden was very, very interesting. I enjoyed it. So we'll be looking at 10 ways which that war changed Naruto forever. The Fourth Shinobi War was the final major conflict in the Naruto anime. It involved the Five Nation struggle against Kabuto's Edo Tensei army. So you know Edo Tensei now, the reanimation jutsu. Man, that jutsu is insane. Like the first time I saw it in Naruto, like OG Naruto, the main Naruto, man, it was just crazy to see someone resurrecting the dead and them using their abilities to fight. I really wanted to see more of the like OG Naruto. I really wanted to see more of the fight of the reanimated first and second Hokage, but it was shy. It was still okay when we got to see them use some of those moves, the second Hokage using his water style jutsu and all those things. Yeah, well, it was really interesting. So Kabuto took over this jutsu, he improved it. And that's what he used in the fourth ninja war. He resurrected his own dead army of ninjas. And we also had them, what did they call, okay, those white zetsus, we also had them too. The remnant of the Akatsuki, and later even the supernatural forces of the Otsutsuki clan itself, those are the people that Kabuto resurrected. Guy get my shower. Like Kabuto is one of those characters that you underestimate him, but by the time he start doing things for you, even you'll be shocked. Given the magnitude of the conflict and the important characters involved, it makes sense that it would have massive implications for the series. The arc changed the series in many consequential ways, making it a worthy conclusion to one of the most beloved stories ever written. In the eyes of many fans. Yeah, I agree with this. Naruto had a good story. You know, it's a very interesting anime. So the 10th way which the show, you know, that's the fourth Great Ninja War changed the show forever. You know, I said there are 10 of them. We'll be going from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So the 10th way which it changed the show was Sasuke got closer with Itachi. So if you know, you know the whole story with Sasuke and Itachi now. You understand? Previously, the relationship between Sasuke and Itachi ended on a horrible note. The former killed the latter under the misunderstanding that he committed the Uchiha massacre for no reason. Sasuke only learned the truth after his brother had long since passed away. Unfortunately, Kabuto's Edo Tensei allowed Sasuke to reunite with Itachi and join forces against him, that's against Kabuto. This gave Sasuke an enormous amount of closure, especially since it was never his brother's intent to turn him against Konoha. As a result, he was more willing to see reason when consulting with the resurrected Hokage. So we know the story now of Sasuke Itachi going on a rampage, massacring the Uchiha clan. Shami, on a personal note, no matter how you say, Itachi had his reasons for massacring the Uchiha, but man, that was just a lot of people to kill. And that's just like, the show makes it seem like he had no choice, you understand? Like, that was it. That was the whole story. You know, Sasuke was in one tight corner. I mean, I said Sasuke, Itachi was in one tight corner. But man, oh boy, for you to kill an entire clan, and nobody survived. The only survivor was this guy, Sasuke. That's to say all the babies, the women, the pregnant women, everything that has to be Uchiha, he put to the sword. Boy, Itachi. Boy. Sha. At the end of the day, Sasuke got closure because after the whole Ninja War arc, you know, after they took down Kabuto by using Izanagi, I think that's the name of the jutsu days for Kabuto by Izanagi. We got to see the two of them use their Susanoo, so that was really interesting, man. That was really interesting. And I like the way after, like, you know, it's only a show like Naruto, all these supernatural shows, that kind of show that, you know, after the deed is done, after the whole Kasala don't boss every, they can now bring in supernatural stuff and make amends. So it was really interesting, you know, seeing Edo Tensei Itachi, the conscious one, reuniting with his brother and fighting together. So, yeah, that was one way which, you know, the show changed forever. Because throughout Oji Naruto, from Oji Naruto till Shippuden, it has always been revenge for Sasuke. You know, there's someone I want to kill. I need to be stronger than him. I need power, all those stuff. So it's good to see the way it ended up for them. And yeah, it made Sasuke a little bit more reasonable. The ninth way which the show changed forever was the Five Nations joined forces. The Five Nations struggled against one another for generations. However, after Obito's proclamation of war at the summit in the Land of Iron, they agreed to put aside their differences and fight towards a common goal. Although there was still bad blood between the army ranks, they quickly looked past their differences when defeating their undead adversaries. Unfortunately, this alliance continued after Madara's defeat, effectively creating world peace among shinobi. The only remaining conflict were against rogue organizations and the machinations of the Otsutsuki clan. However, the armies of the world resolved to aid one another as necessary. So, you know what happened now during the fourth great ninja war? Everybody, shinobi alliance, you know, they joined forces together. Kind of surprised that shinobi alliance carried on even after the war. Because me, knowing human nature, realistically speaking, I would assume these guys will, you know, break off selfishness, other individual, you know, mentality or ideologies might come in. You know, someone thinking this nation is stronger than this nation. You know, that power imbalance is still there. So I'm kind of surprised even up to now in Boruto, they are still maintaining their shinobi alliance. They are still consulting each other. But, you know, that's that. And the Land of Iron, I was expecting more from the Land of Iron. When they showed us samurai in Naruto, I was expecting, you understand. But those samurais were let down for me. Like, I love their design. They looked like stormtroopers and they had swords. And they could connect chakra to their swords. But they easily got clapped See the way Sasuke just went through all of them in that summit when he went to attack the Hokages in the summit. Like the way they made the what they call the samurai seem, as if they were some kind of ironclad people that had iron heart or something like that. People were strong, fierce. And they just made Sasuke come in, slice this one and that one. They even started. The annoying thing was the one that ever ended this for me was when I think two samurais were. They were saying, "Wow, is this how shinobis fight?" Like me, when they were introducing Land of Iron, all those things, I was thinking, okay, if shinobis are planning to host a meeting or to hold a summit in the Land of Iron, that's to say the security in the Land of Iron, the samurais there, they must be really tough. There must be something. Like in short, me, I was more expecting maybe the shinobis will kind of be, let me see, they'll be kind of skeptical and kind of scared of the samurais, but it was just, I don't know. It just went one way for them. So, the fourth great ninja war brought them together. I think all the major organizations, although there were some nations that I don't think they mentioned them. And there are still some smaller nations too in Naruto that they don't usually mention them, like that. But every once in a while they'll tell you, okay, this is land of grass, this is this one, that one. All those neighboring small countries, they are there. But the five big nations are the ones that came together and, they created that Shinobi Alliance that we know, the main group that organized themselves to fight against the Edo Tensei's undead. So yeah, the fourth great ninja war brought world peace to the Shinobi nation that's carried on up till now. So I'm coming down to number eight. The eighth event that happened during the war that changed Naruto forever was Naruto met his parents. So growing up, Naruto had no parents and faced a life of isolation. However, he met Kushina midway through the fourth Shinobi War, finally having a discussion with her as mother and son. When Sasuke forced Orochimaru to resurrect the Hokage, Naruto also had a chance to meet with his father, Minato. In addition to being a massive credit against Madara's remaining forces, Minato served as an inspiration and baseline for Naruto's own parenting well into the future. Without the Edo Tensei, it's unlikely that he ever would have received the closure he desperately needed. So although the Edo Tensei Jutsu is kind of seen as a abomination or forbidden jutsu, it still helped people get closure. I think there was even that one guy from the land of is it Sand Hidden Sand Village that he was able to see his dead girlfriend or something like that. I think even the Hyuga clan too, there were a lot of people that were able to meet their old comrades, have conversations with them, hear what happened, just observe their own growth too. So the fourth great ninja war did a lot, although they were undead, but yeah, they were able to meet people that were dead. So Naruto met his parents, met his mom, met his dad. He met his mom, when he was trying to control the Kyuubi's power. He also met his dad when his dad was revived with the remaining Hokage. So those periods alone, it was even Naruto's birthday. His dad even wished him happy birthday. I remember that episode. So it was really interesting, man, watching them come together after being apart right from when he was living. When they give birth to Naruto, that's when they even died. So it was good to see them, meeting and discussing with each other and seeing Naruto's growth. So coming down to number seven, the seventh event that happened that changed Naruto forever was, okay, Gaara surpassed his father. So Gaara understandably had a difficult relationship with his father, Rasa. That's his father's name, Rasa. Well, I've forgotten that one. In addition to attempting to assassinate him, many residents of the Sand Village did not view Gaara as a proper leader due to the fear spread by the previous Kazekage. When Gaara defeated his father, he proved that he had overcome his need for Shukaku and hatred for the world. Ironically, Gaara was ultimately the one defending his people from a monster, and not the other way around. This helped the Sand Village embrace him fully as a leader. So yes, we know what happened right from OG Naruto when we were introduced to Gaara. You know, it was as if this guy is possessed with demons. Although that time, it wasn't mentioned as the one tail, that's Shukaku. And man, that first time we got introduced to Gaara, like, he gave me chills. So, because I think the first time we saw any on-screen murder like that, like straight up brutal murder, was when Gaara came during the exams. That's during the Chunin exams when he did sand coffin for those shinobis and just, you know, erased them. Man, Gaara was scary then. Then his fight with Rock Lee, when he fucked Rock Lee up, and you know, the remaining stuff we've seen with Gaara. So Gaara was really scary. But coming down to the fourth great shinobi war, we saw how Gaara's growth came up. We saw him even, have you forsaken yourself? Or what was that line he even told the Kuchikage? Is it Kuchikage? Hidden Stone Kage. So we've seen Gaara grow. We even saw him fight his dad. I think his dad is using, is it gold sand? And Gaara is using normal sand. But he was able to improve his sand techniques. He was even able to learn that sealing jutsu of creating that, is it Colosseum, or what was it that he even called itself? So we saw Gaara, you know, surpass his dad and being able to prove himself as a worthy leader. So I think that was one of the coolest things that we saw coming from the Sand Village during the fourth great ninja war. And we also saw Gaara again becoming the Kazekage at a really young age. In short, he became Kage even before Naruto. So yeah, although that one has nothing to do with the war, but yeah, Gaara's growth was really interesting to watch. Coming down to number six, the sixth change that happened because of the war in Naruto. Kabuto permanently transformed himself. Eager to advance himself however possible, Kabuto unlocked the secret behind Snake Sage Jutsu. This resulted in a serpentine transformation where his body was irrevocably altered. As a result, Kabuto could not hide from his monstrous nature. Even after being a rehabilitated member of the Leaf. However, the sacrifice was worthwhile. In exchange for becoming a monstrosity, he wielded the power of several competent shinobi and even managed to overwhelm Sasuke and Itachi in a fight. They only prevailed due to a rare genjutsu that Kabuto struggled to break free from. That's the Izanagi, you know. So yes, because of the whole war and, you know, Kabuto's obsession to become as perfect as he could be, he wanted to even surpass his master, Orochimaru. So Kabuto really got it too. Kabuto got it. I think Kabuto was the person that was just puppeting this war, you know, reviving the dead, bringing who is who, bringing Madara, bringing... The only reason why they are all present in that was because of Kabuto. So Kabuto really got what he was looking for. I think his studies, his research, and his skill as a medical ninja really paid off. I think he's one of those medical shinobis that you can say, yes, he really followed the thing. He really followed his curiosity. I think in our world today, he'll be a vet doctor. Because he was really into snakes and he got a permanent transformation for it. And you know, it was worth it too for him since he acquired the power of Snake Sage, or is it Dragon Self? He was able to instantly regenerate, shift, you know, manipulate his environment, have massive amount of chakra and so many other things. So yeah, Kabuto got his juice. And even after being rehabilitated, even after being a good guy now, he still looks like the snake that he is, similar to Orochimaru. Coming down to number 5, The fifth event that changed Naruto forever. The Uchiha clan was finally defeated. The Uchiha clan were the main antagonist of Shippuden. Obito carried out Madara's will until his master could be properly resurrected. From there, the two terrorized the rest of the world with such unimaginable power that not even the five Kage could defeat them. However, the fourth Shinobi War put an end to the Uchiha's test for world domination. Naruto talk no jutsu. He convinced Obito to change sides while Zetsu pacified Madara completely. Though it gave rise to an entirely new threat, the Uchiha's downfall finally put their rivalry with the Senju clan to rest, which made the potential for Kaguya's next return low. So, we all know what happened during the war. Sharingans were passed around, people were betrayed, hearts were broken, people got chakra, people lost chakra. At the end of the day, Madara was backstabbed by Zetsu, of all people. You won't even expect that. Black Zetsu self. Yeah, Black Zetsu was the one that did the deed. He backstabbed Madara. And you know that resulted in Madara losing. And you know Madara and Obito were the two people. They were the main guys doing Uchiha for everybody. You know, you can't make us sweat, pull out Susanoos, putting people under Genjutsu. No. What's the name of that jutsu safe? Infinite Tsukuyomi. There's Infinite Tsukuyomi, all those other Tsukuyomis and all those other genjutsus that they could possibly do. So yeah, they did it. And finally, you know, because of the war and the whole thing that prevailed, and for Kaguya to emerge, Madara was defeated. He was backstabbed by Black Zetsu. And that changed the whole face of the entire war. You know, they made it seem as if Madara was the main bad guy. This is the final boss. Because when he appeared in the battlefield, he was just giving people hands. He was just clapping everybody. And, you know, when he fought, he got power-ups. He even got to the stage of being the Junchiriki for the Ten Tails. How can that person be defeated? And before you know it, Black Zetsu did this thing. And, bam, Kaguya appeared. So, you know, that particular event changed the entire show forever and changed the way the expectation of the outcome of the war. You know, they were looking at it as if, like, the Uchiha people will finally prevail. They'll get what they want, their infinite Tsukuyomi. But at the end of the day, the whole thing changed and their plans were spoiled. So that particular event changed the entire series. The fourth event that changed Naruto was Naruto made peace with Kurama. Since the series began, Naruto had a tenuous relationship with Kurama. Through granting him the power to defeat multiple opponents like Neji and Orochimaru, Kurama struggled to dominate his host completely. So, we know the relationship between Naruto and Kurama, the Nine Tails, right from season one. You know, whenever Naruto is angry, that's when some chakra of Kurama will spill out, and he was like this rage monster, this monstrosity, this demon hiding inside him. But as the show evolved, as the show moved further, we got to see Naruto making peace with Kurama over time, till they finally became friends. You know, they were like fighting buddies, self. They were like companions, comrades. However, Kondas, continuing from the article here, Naruto learned to make peace with Kurama under the instruction of Killabee. Over time, the nine-tailed fox came to realize that Naruto was not like Madara. He did not seek to exploit or enslave him, instead hoping that they would harness their power as a single entity. Kurama and Naruto both became much greater friends as a result of their new bond. So, yeah, you know, it's really cool to see Naruto make peace. And I'm sure it's because of this war. Because they know, yes, this is what's going to happen. You know, when they were in the island, Killaby explained everything to him. You know, even Yamato and the rest said, okay, this was happening. Although they were trying to hide it, but you know, Naruto still needed that power. You know, that for them to stop the Akatsuki and the rest of the other people out there doing their nonsense, Kabuto, they needed that power. So because of that, Naruto was able to learn from Killaby and make peace with Kurama to be able to even use his chakra self in actual battle. So that was really cool to see. Coming down to number three, the third thing that happened in the Naruto series during the war that changed the show forever was Kaguya Otsutsuki made her move. Okay. Kaguya Otsutsuki was the original progenitor of Chakra, having deeply regretted giving it to Shinobi for the way they betrayed her. She attempted to entrap the world within the infinite Tsukuyomi. This had a number of consequences, both for the fourth Shinobi War and the overarching series. It entailed Madara's betrayal so that she could take his place and poise the possibility that many more Otsutsuki might threaten the ninja world as she once did. Regardless, Kaguya proved a worthy final opponent who Naruto and Sasuke joined forces to defeat. So Kaguya was really strong, man. She was the first chakra wielder now. So what do you expect? Like, she could shift dimensions, like she could teleport. You know, that was one of the craziest moves that she did. That move when they all appeared in that lava area, like a volcano. Like, they were in the battlefield, though. All of a sudden, everything just boom. And you know, they don't even know where they were. She was levitating and they were falling. Man, Kaguya, kudos to you. I'm even surprised. Like, it's even unimaginable self. Like, how did they even defeat Kaguya? I could just think of so many ways that if I had the amount of chakra, I would just do some bullshit. Like, imagine if Kaguya, with that amount of chakra, she just created like shadow clones. She would create like. She even create more than 10 million shadow clones. Having that amount of she would create millions of shadow clones. I imagine what those shadow clones could do. When Madara, just only Madara could create how many shadow clones with all of them using Susanoo. So, although maybe it might not reach 10 million like that, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like, she could create a lot. Like, she could have done a lot with that amount of chakra. If she had gone through maybe some shinobi training and all this kind of stuff, that's if she knew multiple jutsus. So Kaguya was really strong, man, and because of the ninja war, she was brought back to life and she released Havok. Coming down to the second event that changed the Naruto series forever was Sasuke and Naruto received enhancement from Hagoromo. So this enhancement is something that kind of confused me, but yes, I know for sure they received enhancement, but I don't know if after the war they returned it or what's up. I think that's one thing that most Naruto fans do, are kind of, but I think now, Sha, if you've watched Boruto to some extent, you know what and what they still have. But man, after the show, I was kind of confused. Did they still have this power, or did Hagoromo, you know, take his thing and leave? But alarmed by Kaguya's return and desperate to prevent it, Hagoromo summoned Sasuke and Naruto into his presence. He told them that they were reincarnations of past selves that had been feuding since the beginning of the ninja world. By imbuing them with his gifts, Hagoromo hoped to mend the rift between the two young men while giving them the strength to stop Kaguya. This gift remained with them well after he defeated and continued to assist them against the future enemies of the Leaf Village. It even helped Naruto remain a viable fighter after losing Kurama. Ah, okay. Okay. I think this just went past beyond some episodes of Boruto. You know, I'm watching Boruto, but I stopped somewhere. But I'll still continue. You know, I don't like watching my shows weekly. Sometimes I'll watch this week, then I'll have to wait till next week. Sometimes I like to leave them. They should like gather for at least a month or two or three. Then I watch. You know, at that point, I can say I can watch like 5 to 10 episodes. So, yeah. I'll go back to Boruto and see what's happening there because I really want to see Naruto after losing Kurama. By the way, if you haven't, if I'm spoiling it for you, sorry, but in Boruto, Naruto loses Kurama. So, man, it will be really interesting. I want to see how that power, because I was kind of curious, what are the powers that Naruto have? Because the powers just became like they were too much that you won't even be able to keep track of what can what, like what and what can Naruto be able to do. You know, because him having the sage's power, that's Hagoromo's power, I would expect he'll use it in that fight with Urashiki. Because that power too is like top tier. I think is as top tier as him having Kurama. So you know, I would expect in that fight with Ishiki, he will use everything he had, that's even the Hagoromo's power and you know. But yeah, I would like to see what will happen with Naruto and how this power will come into play post Kurama. So that is one of the major events that changed Naruto after the war. Now the number one, the main thing that happened that changed the entire series during the war and after the war was Sasuke was finally redeemed. So we know Sasuke was a member of Team 7 right from OG Naruto. They went on adventures together, they trained together. But all of a sudden, when Sasuke and when Itachi clapped Sasuke, you know, Sasuke was feeling, I have Chidori now. He just, any small thing, Chidori. Wanted to use Chidori for Itachi. Itachi just, he caught the hand, broke the hand, you know, choke him, you see. The mad Sasuke, you know when your world is shattered, you think you have like one of the best move and somebody just nullifies it. So man, Sasuke was broken. So from there he starts seeking for power. He wants to revenge, he wants to do that one, he wants to do that one. So the final conflict between Naruto and Sasuke was a fateful one. Although no longer obsessed with the Leaf Village, Sasuke now convinced himself that the world must be run through fear. Okay, sorry, let me read it again. Although no longer obsessed with the Leaf Village, Sasuke now convinced himself that the world must be run through fear and domination. Is it dominion? The world must be run through fear and dominion. Despite holding back throughout the entire series fight, Naruto managed to beat Sasuke to a standstill. As they lay broken down on the bottom of the valley, Sasuke finally agreed to abandon his hatred and fully return to Konoha's good graces. As a result, the series' most significant dramatic tension was resolved, and the village regained one of his greatest allies. So, you know, after Sasuke went out and was looking for people to give him power, he went and parley with the Orochimaru, even joined Akatsuki. You know, so Sasuke fight will not be small. In short, I think there was a time in the series that from one battle to the other, Sasuke was just, you know, when he even fought Killer-B and he got destroyed, all those things, man. So he had a lot of battle experiences. At the end of the day, after his quest, I think those things, those adventures he had, it really gave him the power he was looking for. But at the end of the day, he was able to realize that no need to go out and revenge since he had the whole story of Itachi and him meeting Itachi. So that whole event, and him even encountering Naruto, say after they fought together, that's their final battle and the whole thing. You know, the whole issue just calmed down. It just came down.
and Sasuke was like, although I don't know how to feel about it, because I know Sasuke was like hell bent even till that final episode. He was going all out to say, "I want to kill Naruto. I want to kill this guy." But Naruto was able to beat him and talk no jutsu him and everything him into submission. So that was a really huge and dramatic event that changed the show. So regardless of how you feel about all these things and how the story were written and how the event all transpired, these things that happened, these things that I've mentioned today, were canon in the show, and they were the events that led to Naruto, ending and moving over to Boruto. So regardless of how you also feel about Boruto, I enjoy Boruto Show. I enjoy it. I like the animation. I like the music. I also like the fight style. It looks like a more evolved, version of Naruto, especially with the scientific ninja tools. I want to see more of the scientific ninja tools. Although some of the scientific ninja tools we've seen are just, but like that one we saw with Konohamaru, that one that was like the one that Boruto even used to cheat. I would like to see stuff like that. I would like to see stuff too from Denki, and is it, I think that's his name now, Denki, the scientist boy. So yeah, those are the kind of scientific ninja tools man I want to see. It's really cool, really interesting. So that's our episode for today. 10 events that change the Naruto series. Thank you all for listening to this episode, and if you enjoyed it, if you like anime and you want to hear from me more, just go and follow, run and go and follow the Instagram page. Also follow the Facebook page. I'll be dropping more episodes and I'll be dropping the notifications there. So thank you all for watching, and also drop me comments. Let me know if there's any other thing you would like to see. No, you can't see now. Although if you want to see, just follow the IG page. You'll see things there. But if you want to listen to, if there are things that you want to hear, you can comment it so that I will say it on the pod. So that'll be all for now, and until the next episode of Black Whip Podcast. Bye bye.